All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Good to be with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for everything, Father, that you provided for us. We thank you for Jesus, his example, and his sacrifice, Father. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon us this morning. We ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father. Help us to do your will in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 23. See if I can get it figured out. Luke chapter 23, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Then the whole body of them got up and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ a king.' So Pilate asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he answered him and said, 'It is as you say.' Then Pilate said to the chief priests and to the crowds, 'I find no guilt in this man.'" What I want to talk about this morning a little bit is guilt. Of course, forgiveness goes with that. And I guess the main thing is there's a lot of people that deal with guilt. And I want to show, for one thing, where that comes from. In Revelation, the Bible, Revelation chapter 12, it talks about verse 10, it says, "Now I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation of power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night.'" That's talking about Satan, the accuser of the brethren. He's referred to in one place. We see him from the very beginning. We see him in Job. You know, Job, God presented Job, or Satan came up and started talking to God, or he came in his presence and he began talking to God. God asked Satan where he had been, and he said he's roaming to and fro across the earth. And God asked Satan, "Have you beheld my servant Job, who serves me faithfully?" Satan begins to accuse Job in front of God. And here in the book of Revelation, it's there again. And he's earned the title, the accuser of the brethren. We see here in this where Jesus was being accused by the mob. And whenever we think of guilt, you know, we've got to you know, some people that can't hardly do anything without feeling guilty about it. Doesn't matter how good they do. Doesn't matter how the lightest failure or the someone that makes the slightest accusation, there's guilt. They feel guilt. And I just want to bring out this morning that the difference between like conviction and guilt. God doesn't go around just making us feel guilty. That does not come from God. Our own conscience does that. You know, we've said it before. If you think about it, the voices in your head, you know, we have voices in our head, our thoughts. And whenever we're feeling guilty, who does it seem like is telling us we're guilty? It's ourselves. When we hear the voices in our head or the thoughts in our head that, you know, whether it's God, whether it's Satan, or whether it's ourselves, they all sound like us. So it's hard to discern where these thoughts are coming from. Because whenever it's us telling us to ourselves that we're kicking ourselves or we're thinking about this, or an idea that comes into our head to go do something, it doesn't come with a dastardly voice, you know, you go do this. Like Satan would, like we'd think Satan, it just sounds like us suggesting to ourselves to go do something we shouldn't do. And whenever we're something that's noble for us to do or God speaking to us, it's not a, this is God, go do this. It's not that voice, it's us. Same voice is telling us all of these things. And so the discernment is, it's not just us that are making suggestions to our mind. But a lot of times that's the way we feel whenever we're being made to feel guilty. That guilty feeling that sometimes controls us is not what ought to control us. You know, Jesus came into the world and he gave a message to mankind. And what was that message? That we could be redeemed. That we could be forgiven. That we could be set free. That's the message God brings to the earth. He doesn't have to be riding us all the time like an old broke horse, trying to force us into things. You know, if we see Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, how many times did he go around trying to make somebody feel guilty for what they had done? Yep, every time they come to him, he would offer them forgiveness. And he talked about them. He got on to them and scolded the disciples for not having faith. But he didn't say, you did this to me. You've done me wrong. Over and over again, Judas, whenever he was going to be betrayed. Jesus, they had communion together. And Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. He didn't get down and scold him. He offered him the bread and he partook of it. He just said, what you're going to do, go do quickly. You see, that's how God deals with us. And so when we hear these voices, this is how we can discern whether it's from God or Satan. We can kind of see the approach they bring to us or the spirit of what they're trying to say to us. God's offering mercy and forgiveness. And there's another that's bringing guilt and condemnation. So when those two voices are fighting out in your head, that one that's bringing you guilt and condemnation, when you find guilt and condemnation in the Bible, who's behind it? Jesus came to set us free and to redeem us from these things. Redeem us from that guilt and that shame. You know, I think that's one of the things, the message that Roger brought this morning or read to us about the man that was forgiven. There was a man that had the debt, and he came to God, or the king that was above him, and he owed him all kinds of things, and he forgave him. And he proved himself unworthy of that forgiveness. But he forgave him anyway. And gave him the opportunity to go out and do with the freedom that he had been given whatever he wanted. And what did he do? He went out and took that forgiveness and found someone that owed him a little bit and demanded that he be punished until he paid him. Then the man who had been forgiven, you know, the people who think they can get saved once or because they're forgiven, they're good. Jesus gives us an example and says, this man who had been forgiven, now everything that he owed was put right back on him because he took that forgiveness and despised it. But it was available. And I think that's one time, that's how I think there's lots of churches, there's lots of religion that focuses on that forgiveness. And there's lots and lots and lots of people that have experienced that freedom from guilt and that forgiveness. And then they just go on and live their lives the way they want to, seemingly without a care in the world, without all that guilt and shame. Why? Because forgiveness is available. Because God is offering forgiveness. People are taking it. But just like this man that went out and treated others how he shouldn't have, went right back into the same old things, although they may have peace of mind, one day all of that stuff will be given right back to them because they weren't worthy of the forgiveness. You see, Satan is accusing, making us feel guilty. And God is offering us peace, love, joy, mercy. He's offering those things to us so that we can be like Him. And when we, like we've talked about, reflect those things that He's given to us because we've tasted them, and we reflect that back to others, that's using the blessings, the grace, the mercy, the peace, the forgiveness that God has given us and giving it right back to somebody else. That's properly using these gifts. But when we take those things and we begin to accuse, we're just like the man that, you know, or we won't forgive. That's one of the principal things he was talking about. Somebody did me wrong and I will not forgive them. We're doing the same thing as this man. The guilt the accuser brings upon us, Christ came to set us free from that. You know, that's one thing about the law. God has given us, whenever in the very beginning, God told Adam not to take the fruit. And it wasn't too long till God gave the law. And then that law that just expanded over and over and over again. When Jesus came, his teaching was to love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. The things that he taught are just expressions of that. But people have made them laws. The further people are from God, the more rules they need. The further people are from God, the more rules they need. You know, we live in a world, a nation, they're just writing laws all the time trying to restrict people. Because they're trying to control them. Because God isn't. You know, there's people in church that are trying to live within at least the church rules and regulations. And that's restraining them so they don't need all those umpteen million other laws that are out there. So there is a good effect, for a good place for religion. There's a place for fearing God. In fact, if people fear God, they don't need any laws for man to write for them. They just don't. This place where in Luke, is amazing. So Pilate asked him, all these people were accusing him. All of these people were accusing him. And they brought him before Pilate, who, you know, sometimes he's looked at as, and, you know, he did sell out. But he sold out because he was honest. He saw this man brought before him, and all these people, the multitudes, are accusing him of all these things. And he said, I find no guilt in this man. Did it a couple of times, and finally, just to wash his hands up to get rid of it, he said, okay, I'm going to turn it over to you. His blood's on your head. God, in the flesh, no laws binding him. And yet, man couldn't find one thing against him to actually condemn him to guilt. That's some of the differences. The further people are from God, the more rules they need to be controlled. You know, we look at churches. And that same thing that I just said applies across the board. All across the board. The further someone is from God, the more rules they need. We get into these churches that have to have a rule for this and a rule for that to keep their people in order. The further people are away from God, the more rules they'll need to control them. And what happens in these groups? They have all these rules they use to condemn people who don't toe the line. And you know, guilt comes from God. I mean, whenever we're wrong, God convicts us. And it's clear. Whenever our own self, Our conscience convicts us. Satan accuses us. And here, other people can accuse us, just like they did. All these people were accusing Jesus because he had broken their rules. It didn't work on him. All of those rules didn't work on him. Man could oppose him. They rose up against him and started accusing him. There was no guilt in this man. He wasn't guilty because they were saying he was guilty. He was guilty. He wasn't guilty. You know, men write all these different rules. They did it in the Old Testament. Started from 10 and went to 600. By the time Jesus, 600 and some, by the time Jesus got here, all these rules. And the Pharisees come along and say, oh, you broke that rule. And you're supposed to feel guilty and just melt. But Jesus didn't. He just did what he was supposed to do. He just kept doing what he was doing. You know, that's where freedom is. That we don't have to, just because we're accused of something doesn't mean anything if we're innocent. A righteous man doesn't need all those rules, and no one can convince a righteous man that he's done wrong when he hasn't. People make these rules, and I've even seen it, not even just rules. You know, I've been in church revivals where the evangelist was a persuasive thing and a man, and he was trying to get people to get up out of their seat and come down to the altar and be saved. And I was friends with an evangelist whenever I was first starting out, and I just, every night, there was somebody in the back that he knew he wasn't saved. And he was just, every night he would say, oh, he's getting closer. He's getting closer. He's got his head bowed. He's holding on back there. He don't want to give up. Knew he was guilty. And then one evening, towards the last part of the revival, this man came to the front. And as he was walking down, this evangelist just, yep, gotcha. You know, it just, and that's the way the man was. Now I give up, you got me. And he thinks he's got salvation now because he doesn't have that guilt that he was feeling because he hadn't came down to the front yet. I've been there. And it's easy to feel relieved because now I've been down to the front and I asked Jesus to forgive me. And we feel free from all of those things. Maybe we do experience freedom and salvation. Maybe we do experience mercy and forgiveness. What are we doing with it? If that's the end all be all, which in most churches it is, very few go on past to do anything with what they've felt and what they've experienced. Saying that, okay, you got to be baptized before you're saved. Well, you know what? You feel pressure. You feel guilt. You feel this at odds with the person that says you need to be baptized. So finally, just, okay, I'll be baptized. And there's a release there. And so, instead of just coming to the front, some people say you got to be baptized before it all. And you can experience that lack of accusation against you because now you're together. Christ came to set us free so that we live between God and Him, between us and God. Doesn't mean you don't ever listen to anybody. But just because somebody's accusing you of something don't make you guilty either. Christ came to set us free. Just sad story in South America this week. A young man grew up in one of these churches that has all kinds of rules that produce guilt. The thing about it is those churches, as good as they may appear on the outside, have the message of Satan instead of the message of God. This young, very young man took his own life because he wasn't meeting up to the standard of somebody else, and the guilt was so overwhelming that he couldn't live. It's not the message of God that brings that. In Romans chapter 2, it talks about being judged and about the man that, let's just turn there real quick. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore you have no excuses, everyone of you passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. People who make these regulations to put on others will be judged by them. You know, it sounds good. You hear these churches say, well, we're just kind of protecting people, put these regulations. If you're condemning someone with those regulations, you will be judged in the same manner. The restrictions you put on others is how you will be judged. They found no guilt in him. That's such a blessing. The church has a message of redemption, of forgiveness, and of mercy. I mean, if you're feeling guilty because you know you're not where you're supposed to be, that's normal. That's between you and the Lord. There is a good guilt that produces a real repentance. If you've got the heart and the you know you've done wrong. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. Listen to that. Don't run from it. Turn. But if you're just feeling guilty all the time because somebody dropped a hat wrong or something and said it was your fault, forget that. Draw near to God. He brings peace and forgiveness. I just want us to keep in mind, you know, like I said, if there's something wrong, we know it. We don't want to fool ourselves, and there's people that do. If we know there's something really wrong that I haven't given to God or don't want, we know that. And that's different than the guilt that's just out of the blue air that Satan is breathing down our neck. We don't have to listen to him anymore. He came to set us free from all of that. He doesn't want us living under a dark, gloomy cloud. You know, people that punish themselves for their own sins, they're just saying Jesus' punishment, Jesus' death wasn't enough to set them free. If we're kicking ourselves and we're beating ourselves up, Jesus died. He overcame Satan. He is all we need to turn to Him to find that rest, that mercy. Trying to punish ourselves for our sin is just a smack in the face to God. It's an affront to Christ. Trying to bring our bodies under subjection. Trying to punish our bodies for the things that our bodies have done wrong. The focus is all wrong there. Jesus came, and He took all of that for us. We can't add our own punishment to that and make it anything at all. We're denying what He did for us. He wants our will. And when He's got our will, our bodies will just follow along. There's a lot of religious people trying to suppress their own bodies, thinking that that's pleasing to God, because they're trying to get your will surrendered to God and your body will follow. A holy man doesn't have to punish himself so that he'll be holy. A holy man is holy because he chooses to be like Jesus. A righteous man is righteous because he's following the Lord. And that gives him the power to actually be what he would like to be. But so many people get caught up in trying to suppress the flesh. If suppressing the flesh would work, if keeping the law would work, Jesus wasted His time to come to this earth. His death was a complete waste of time, if those things is where it's at. That's not where it's at. Righteous men, godly men, are following Christ and listening to His voice and just doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're loving God with all their heart and their neighbor as theirself. If someone or you yourself are trying to put extra rules and all those things on you, beware. The closer to God you are, the less of those things you need. Men in the Old Testament, biggest praise that I know of, and he walked with God. And he walked with God. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? The Lord. We'll meet back this evening at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. Walk with God.